My first hack would be to have fun. And that seems like really generic, but if you're having fun, then other people will have fun too. And so I think about this within my community, make sure that I'm enjoying what we do. As soon as I'm not really enjoying the types of classes that we're doing or the types of events that I'm hosting, mm-hmm. then it's time to find something that's going to be a better fit. So have fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we had a fantastic conversation with Alice, a passionate scrapbooker who transformed her love for preserving memories into a thriving business. Alice shares her journey, starting with scrapbooking as a hobby and eventually turning it into a profitable venture. We dive into the importance of knowing your why when pursuing a hobby and how finding your community can elevate your experience. Discover how Alice transitioned from being a community member to leading the scrapbooking community she loves. Tune in for inspiration on turning your passion into profit and the power of sharing your unique story. Alice, thanks for taking the time to come on to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
It's weird. We've known each other for almost 3 years, right?
And yep.
My podcast is called Hacks and Hobbies, and what you do is actually one of the hobbies that a lot of people do.
I know. I'm like, it's funny that it's taken us this long, but maybe that just means that we waited until the right time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Your podcast is Scrap Happy, and your business is also Scrap Happy because you love scrapbooking, and the level of engagement you brought in your community is really powerful. And you're the perfect example of passion to profit stories that we talk about here on the podcast.
And going after what you really want. So I think that is one of the things that is a funny part of my story of how I got into what I'm doing now.
So let's dial back, press the rewind button, and go back into the past. And tell us a little bit about how you got introduced or how you even got into scrapbooking. Was that something that you absolutely wanted to do? Or was there a previous Alice that we have not met yet?
Probably there's a few of them, but I started scrapbooking very commonly. This is what happens. You have kids and you start scrapbooking because you realize that, oh my gosh, my kid is the cutest child in the whole world. I have to do something with all of these photos. Yeah. And so that's where I started. And that is 24 years ago, believe it or not. And amazing. I dove in headfirst, and it seemed like there was always something really cool to learn about scrapbooking. I never felt like I was doing a very good job of it, but eventually along the way, I just kept trying new things and trying new things and trying new things. And I'll tell you, 24 years into scrapbooking, and there are so many new things that I am always still excited about scrapbooking. So obviously, I found the right thing for me. And that was really good. But it took a while before it became a business adventure.
Yeah, I think you probably scrapbooked more from the creator side than actually running the business side, because you got to have those reps in all the nuances of scrapbook, all the things that people should be avoiding. And that's how it makes really perfect sense for you to be running a business in that space. And as we were in the green room, you were like, you've done a bazillion of these podcasts. How are you always changing? There's always a better way around it.
Yeah. And I think that experience that you put in to learn the skills when you turn into an entrepreneur, you are ahead of the game, right? Your stuff. And I think sometimes people are not sure of what they know. Do I have the skills to sell this to somebody else or help somebody? And I think if you've done that work and you've put in that time, I've done the hours, I know the skills inside out and backwards when it comes to scrapbooking. and I can help you take some beautiful photos of your little child and turn them into gorgeous scrapbook pages that document your story and your memories. And so having done that work, when I jumped into it, I was ready to share my skills. And I think that is such a good place to start from when you have a skill and you're going to share it with people.
That's so powerful and inspirational, because the things that we are doing with our kids' drawings and things that they bring back from school, they go directly into the trash. But they don't go to the trash directly. They'll wait around in probably the library on the desk. Oh, this is something he did last year. Okay, in the trash it goes, because it's done. It's his time. And that's crazy, because you want to think about how can I repurpose it, or you got to have the time to even think about that.
I'll just give you a free pass on this. You can't save everything. So it is impossible to save everything. So don't even try. Okay, I think good. Your job as a parent and my job as a scrapbooker is to curate a story. And you're showing new skills and you're showing growth and you're showing experience. And I think that is what we do. We can't save every little piece of paper our child draws a scribble on, and it's okay not to. So if you save a handful of them from their childhood where they can look back and say, oh my gosh, I used to write my A's backwards or something, I think that gives you perspective of growth and that in that little child in there. And I think that's a really fair thing. So just so you know, you're off the hook. You don't have to save it all.
Yes, perfect. But now what's really interesting that there are companies that are creating products where you can literally save every single of those things. So it's almost like a shadow box that you open in the front and you can replace right. what one shows up, and then you can close the door. And then you need probably need a lot of shadow boxes.
I know. And it comes, and I think that it's the same thing with scrapbooking. Mm. One of the things that we talk about is the curation of your memories, because we live in a digital age. Taking a photo is so easy. You hold up your phone, you take a photo. Like, it's such an easy thing to do that it's too much. And so it really comes down to finding out what's important to you. And I think that's always a place where I like to start when people come to the world of scrapbooking. It's, why do you want a scrapbook? And if it's because I have these great photos, that's a really good place to start, right? You have great photos. That's something awesome to work with. But it's finding the stories that matter to people and doing something with them that really inspires me. Because when you're sharing your story, then that's, I think, for me, that's what makes it worth my time to put into it, is when I bring that story, the cute photo, all the fun products and techniques that you can do, and you bring that together. And then to me, that's what makes scrapbooking really worthwhile. And I think knowing your why, knowing what you're getting into it for, is a really great place for anybody to start with, whether it's scrapbooking or some other hobby, right? I know you talk to a lot of people about a lot of different hobbies, and knowing why you want to do it, I think, is a good step.
Man, that's such a powerful thing to say. Why you want to do is a good step. And that's literally the mantra of, hey, why do you want to start this business? Why do you want to sell this thing? Who's that going to be? Like, there's a lot of why questions. So even when you're starting a new hobby, there's got to be a strong enough why to have that passion piece built into it. Mm-hmm.
So I became a member of the Scrap Happy community. I actually didn't start the community that I run now. I became a member because there was a challenge that they put out into the world called Load. It's a layout a day where you make a scrapbook page every day for a month. They give you inspiration. They give you a prompt to get you started. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. I should sign up for this. I can't scrapbook a page every single day. That's not possible. Like, I really thought that wasn't even possible. But sure enough, through the encouragement of having other people sharing pages, getting to see their pages, having people comment on my pages, through the having deadlines every day, that a kind of accountability was super good for me. And just that daily prompt of, here's a story you might want to tell. Maybe you want to try this technique. That was really a great spot. And then right from that challenge, I hopped into the community and it was like, I found my people, right? It was like, oh, yeah, yeah. We all speak the same language. And I think we all know that feeling.
You're 100% right. When you find your people, you no longer have to filter your language to explain to them what you're talking about because they know the language and you guys can get along. And the same thing happened with me with beekeeping. I had to go join a community to understand all the lingo and what they're talking about and be able to get into beekeeping myself. Or same for cycling. The first bike that I picked up was really cheap, but it was the wrong kind of bike. I didn't know how to ride it the first time and I fell twice. So you got to know the right people. You got to know the right lingo if you want to pick up a hobby. And that's a really awesome story.
Mm-hmm. And so from there, I was a member of the community for several years. And once our leader of the community, her name was Lane, and she said, I don't have space. I don't have time. I can't do this anymore. And it was crushing to hear because these were my people now. This was my family online. And I was heartbroken to hear that. But I also felt this thing inside me. Like, I need to be running this. This is the perfect fit for who I am and what I want to do, because I feel that this message about documenting our stories was so powerful to me. And I felt that scrapbooking, it gets poo-pooed sometimes as just that little crafty thing that you do. But I feel that in sharing our stories, there's so much more importance to it. And here I was with the people that understand, and now this was going to just end. Like, that wasn't okay. And so being myself in the way that I am, I reached out to Lane and I said, here's 20 reasons that I'm the right person to go forward with this community. And some of them were really like funny and cute. And some of them were serious logistics. Like, I was starting a little bit of online entrepreneurship at that time, trying to teach some scrapbooking classes. And so I knew the basics of what I would need to know. And I know that I could learn the rest. And so I made my pitch and she made it work. She totally made it work so that I could step right into this community. And that was in 2016. And I haven't looked back at all with any kind of regret for making that move. Like, it was that one bold step. And now I get to do the thing that I love all the time and hang out with the people that totally get what I do. And that's amazing.
Man, that is so beautiful. Having joined the community, seeing how it works, seeing how it flows, I think that's really important. And we're both part of a very powerful community as well with Pat Flynn's SBI Pro community. And that's how we got to meet. And I think he attracts people who have similar mindset. And obviously we clicked and we've been in mastermind together for a while. And when you find your people, it's so much easier to say, hey, I can take over. I'd be happy to take over. But then sometimes it doesn't work out, which is totally okay. It's probably a stepping stone that you had to go through, because we have seen some people leave SBI Pro because either they couldn't make it work or it didn't work for them.
I know when I first started, I tried to do things just the way that Lane did things, because that's what I had experience with. And I quickly discovered that I can do things in my own way, and that's okay. She used to do a little session that she would do live, and she would scrapbook live, and she would spin a little spinner, and it would select different things for her to put on her page. I tried doing that, I think twice, and I'm like, this is not going to happen. A, I can't scrapbook that fast, or I couldn't at the time, but also just that chaos, random of it, that wasn't the way I thought about scrapbooking, and it wasn't the way I wanted to approach my scrapbooking. It just didn't fit for me. And so I slowly learned that it was okay to transition and try new things. And I've tried lots of different new things within the membership. And sometimes it's, okay, we're going to try this for a while. And it was awesome until it wasn't. And then we said, okay, we're going to ditch that and we'll move on to something else. And I think that being flexible with my idea of what it was that I present and what it is I bring, because I know why I'm doing it, the details can be a little bit more relaxed, right? We have different kinds of live events that we host every month. Yeah. They're different than they used to be. Mm-hmm. And when I see a new idea and I get a new opportunity, I can roll with that. I had the opportunity to host some big live events a couple years ago during pandemic. They were amazing, like so amazing. And one thing that came out of that was one of the instructors I worked with. She ended up coming on board with me, and now she helps and makes a class for my community every single month. And for me, that was just amazing because it took one thing off of my plate. Mm-hmm. I'm also bringing a different perspective so that other people, like, you get different people that bring different ideas to the table, and new ideas just means that you're going to find different people to connect with, and something will click when you get a different teacher sometimes. Yeah. So it was a perfect way to lighten my load a little bit while also helping support the business that she was building.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, like, what a perfect fit for what we're doing now.
I think what you said there was, it's really powerful, especially because when you find your people, and she's probably the same, she probably had the same kind of commitment that you had when you joined. She's like, hey, I can come and help, and I can be a support person. I can be the right-hand person. And who knows, maybe there are some other people that would love to take responsibility, because that's something that is innate to human beings, is that if we are trusted to do something, we're going to go above and beyond to impress the people that entrusted us.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why when students are given a challenge, they try their best to do the best job they can, because not only are they graded, but then they're also getting a good feeling, hey, I did a good job kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that anytime that we can bring people into the fold a little bit more so that they have more interaction and they really feel that it's like their community, especially since I'm coming from the place of being a community leader. That's the number one thing that I do. I host the Scrap Happy membership community. And then in addition to that, we've hosted some of these big events, the Scrap Smarter Experience, where we learn new skills by bringing teachers and a guest speaker together. Mm. And then I've hosted some different classes online as well. I started the Scrap Happier podcast because I just felt like we needed to get more into the head of scrapbooking and dive into the details. And I can do YouTube videos, and I have, but I think getting that chance to talk to it and think about it in your head, there's not a lot of people that dive into the mindset behind scrapbooking or other hobbies like that. And for me, that's where I've made some of my biggest growth, is through looking at the mindset that you bring to the table when you sit down to do your craft and do your hobby. Yeah. And so that's one of the areas I've leaned more into.
No, you're so right, because when you are focused on in building on a hobby, you're literally developing your mindset. You're literally growing and getting better at not just the craft, but also how patient you have to be as a person. And if you look at entrepreneurship and you look at all the different things, even parenting requires a lot of patience. Just because you're a parent doesn't mean everything. Because guess what? Different times require different types of tactics and different types of interaction with the situation you might be dealing with. So
I have two boys. Yeah. They're 24 and 22, almost 23. Yeah. And it's amazing how different they are and the different skills I had to bring to the table when it came to parenting them. Yeah. They did not need the same thing. We had a big discussion about what's fair and what's equal the one time, because my one son saw me doing something a lot with the other and he says, "That's not fair. You're doing all this for him, not for me and whatever." And I said, "Do you want it to be fair or do you want it to be equal? Because if you want it to be equal, we can have you come and do exactly what he does too. Or do you want it to be fair where I can look at your needs and I can look at his needs and those are completely different."
Yeah.
And you can do your trip to Japan and he can go and do his competitive swimming, right? Mm-hmm. There's different things that you both want in this world. And my job as a parent is to figure out how can we do this in a way that's fair to everybody here? And that was a really good discussion. And I think that understanding that difference between equality and fairness is a super important thing for them to learn. But I look at it with my membership too, right? Mm-hmm. What is fair for my members? I host live events. I can record them and share them. Obviously, some people, we have members across the entire world. There's people across North America. That's where our largest number of members are. But I have people that are in our community in Australia and New Zealand and in Europe. And so as you're looking across the world at the different people that are coming, I host some of my events at different times of day so that people have an opportunity to come and be there live, which is always so much more fun when you can interact with people. Yeah. And all of those times are times that people in North America can be there because that's where the most of my people are. But I do try to bring some fairness to the board so that people that are over in Europe or over on the other side, like they can come to something. And that's, we do the best that we can in parenting, in business, and in life.
No, you're so right, because being equal and being fair, that's a really good one. If I think about, I have four kids, right? So I've got double the amount of people to work with or be fair with, as opposed to, and sometimes one kid wants to spend more time on one specific thing, whereas the other kid wants to spend more time on maybe editing and recording more video or spending more time in this and that. So it's absolutely right to come to that decision on what is fair and what is equal. Man, we've had some really awesome conversations, a ton of inspiration from what shaped your path, the motivations that enabled you to jump into this scrapbooking community and become somebody who runs it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now that I've been doing this for a while, I feel like I have found my groove, and it makes it like when you have a bit of a, you got your groove on a little bit, it makes it a little less scary to try the new things, right? I'm not stepping away from this, but I can test out this other thing over here and see if that works. And I think finding that path that's okay, I'm on this road. It's like a little bumpy sometimes, but I at least I know where I'm headed. And then I can bring on these other projects, and that excites me, right? It's exciting to try these new things. Like in 2020, we all know that was a crazy year. That was when I hosted that first Scrap Smarter experience. And because I was in an online space, I understood the ropes. I had been using Zoom for ages by then. I wasn't new to it like everybody else. Yeah. And so when I put together this workshop and I brought 10 teachers and a guest speaker together. They all had classes that were pre-recorded that we watched live, and then the teachers got to answer questions. That was one of the first things that was like that in our scrapbooking industry. And since then, everybody's like, oh yeah, this online thing, this is pretty good. And so I did a few of them, and I stepped back for a little while so that I would have a little bit of a break. And because for me, if I'm having fun and I'm feeling energized by the stuff that I'm doing, then I'm on the right path. But as soon as I feel like I have to do something, or I should do this, I've lost some of that element of fun. And it's really about finding my way back to what's fun for me.
No, I love that so much. And one of the things that I was thinking about was, how does the community help somebody struggling through, let's say, hey, they come in because now we're family, now you're family, and people might be going through different kind of moods and different kind of energy levels. How does the community help support people that are part of it?
I think part of it is, like, how are you showing up yourself, right? And scrapbooking is a very personal adventure. Like, we make pages about our life, and within our community, we're sharing those pages. And I always remind people, like, you don't have to share photos that you don't want to have online. You don't have to, you can blur things out, you can cover things up when you're sharing stuff. But we share a lot of our personal lives through our scrapbook pages. So when we do our big challenges, we do those, the load challenges, 3 times a year. And we scrapbook every day for a month. When you're seeing people's pages posted every day, you get to know the members. When you hang out in our online, like, live events, you get to know the different members. Like, I never think of them like members. I always think of them like my friends, because they literally have become my friends. We actually usually do a reunion where we do a get together every year, which we haven't had a chance to do since 2019, but next year is our year. We'll be back with our reunions. Nice. And it's my friends, right? That's getting together with my friends. And when people are struggling, people notice when you're not there. So you get the little DMs, hey, I didn't see your pages. Are you making pages? And having those people that get it, right? That have also been down the road, and you've seen it. Yeah. You've seen it in their pages. You've seen, you see the successes. But we talk a lot about incorporating some of the real stories into our life. And I think that's the difference between looking in the community versus looking at scrapbook pages that get posted on, say, Instagram or something. Yeah. When you look on Instagram, you're seeing pages made by designers that have access to all of the beautiful supplies within our community, pages made by real people that have limited supplies sometimes, that don't have all of the pretty things. They can't spend 8 hours working on a page. They sit down, they make a page, they've got an hour here, maybe they have half an hour here, like, maybe they did it over 10 minutes when they could grab it. And those pages sometimes look different, sometimes, like, they're super beautiful and designery, but seeing the realness of what we can share with each other when we're inside that community, I think for me, that's where the magic is. So when we host our load events, I always get my members to be the featured designers. Nice. I could reach out to some of our scrapbooking celebrities, right? I could reach out to people and have specially designed by professional layouts shared. But there's nothing as good as seeing the realness of the pages and seeing the pictures that maybe aren't perfect, because when something is going on a design page, they have professional photos that are edited. They have all those supplies. They have everything. Yeah. And they had all the time in the world to work on it. But when it's you and me, oh, look, my picture's kind of blurry. I took this one half in the dark. Oh, my child was moving. They're blinking in this one. We work with the best that we have. But at the same time, sometimes it doesn't have to be perfect to be really good. Yeah. And I know I've made a lot of pages that are really good, even though somebody looking at it would be like, why would she use that photo? Or her colors are a little off on there, but it's kinda real.
It's almost like it tells a story, and that's what you're trying to capture. Hey, in the moment, this is what happened. So much so that there's actually a site called Chatbooks, and you, I think you probably mentioned it to me, where it'll literally take photos from your album from that month and create a photo album that you can print and send it
from your social media. Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea, because how many people don't have time to sit down and do that? Maybe they are doing the social media. They're sharing it with their family, with their friends, and they can turn that into a book. I think that's fun. I think that when people look at scrapbooking, they need to look at, it's not just scissors and like awesome double-sided adhesive, right? Like, it is so much more. There are so many ways that we bring our stories and our photos together. Like, I look at the photo books that you make. Photo books are fantastic. That's scrapbooking to me. I look at all of my friends that are doing the digital scrapbooking. They don't touch paper. They're fine with that. They're doing everything on their computer with our community, because we're not just doing that one thing. It's open for everybody to come, and you scrapbook in the way that works for you. And there are a lot of ways to scrapbook. So we get to talk about all of it, and it's great.
And this is so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and how scrapbooking has fulfilled your life. And basically, you've been able to find the thing that lights you up, and you're able to help others do exactly the same. We're going to take a quick breather, and when we get back, we're going to have three nuggets that you're going to share, three hacks you're going to share with our audience that they can implement. And if they want to do scrapbooking, or if they want to do with their community, because you are running a community for almost 9 years now, almost going on 10, right? Almost going on 10 years. Wait, I got my numbers wrong. But
Since 2016. Let people do the math.
Yeah, they can do the math. We're not good at math. We're good at drawing pictures and whatnot. So we'll be right back with three hacks to share with you guys. Finding the right guest or podcast can feel like searching for a needle in a haystack, unless you bring a magnet. And thanks to Podmatch, a service that automatically attracts your ideal interview guests to your podcast. I've enjoyed using Podmatch for Hacks and Hobbies and interviewed over 100 fantastic guests from this platform alone. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/podmatch to save time and find your perfect match. Check out Podmatch today. Again, go to hacksandhobbies.com/podmatch or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been speaking with Alice Ball here from Scrap Happy. She has her own podcast, Scrap Happy Podcast, and she runs an amazing community of scrapbookers where you bring your creativity to the paper. Is that good?
Yeah. No, it's totally true. That's exactly how it works. You bring your creativity and you get to share your life stories. So it's a perfect mash between that memorabilia, those memories, the life story, and documenting it and getting to have a lot of fun while you do it. So that's awesome.
I love it. I love that. All right. So let's jump into the three hacks that you have for us to share.
Okay. I had to think about this, but actually it came really easy. My first hack would be to have fun. And that seems like really generic, but if you're having fun, then other people will have fun too. And so I think about this within my community, make sure that I'm enjoying what we do. As soon as I'm not really enjoying the types of classes that we're doing or the types of events that I'm hosting, then it's time to find something that's going to be a better fit. So have fun. The second one would be to don't try to do too much. Sometimes as a business owner, we think we need to do all of the things in order to give people a better experience. And too many things is often not better, because I look at, for an example, within my community, if I have too many events and people feel like they're missing out on it because they can't keep up on things, then they're more likely to let their membership wash out because it's too much and they feel like they're missing too much of it. So more is not always better. So really think about the kind of experience that people are having. You want to give them enough so that they learn what they need to do and that they're engaged when they need to engage, but not so much stuff that when life has other distractions, as we know happen, then they don't feel like, oh, I can't even keep up on this. It's just too much. And I can't even do this. So more is not better. So don't do too much. Yeah. And for the third one, I would say get help, because whether it is technology or writing or editing or whatever it is that you're doing that you don't like doing, I guarantee there's going to be something in your business that you're just like dreading doing. That's the perfect place to see if you can get help. Now, this is a lesson I'm still working on, so it's not one that I know perfectly, but I also think that getting help can sometimes mean taking courses to brush up on some skills. You can learn some things on your own. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways to look at the whole idea of getting help. But my life got a lot better when I got help from my son in the tech department. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, my writing got better when I got help from my AI. Like, so oh, yes. There's a lot of different ways to bring help into your entrepreneurial journey. And I think that the sooner we accept that a little help can go a long way, that it makes it a better experience. So we can go back to number one and have fun.
Right. Have fun. All right, sweet. I love those advices and those hacks. Quick question before we jump into the fast action questions. How do you envision the future of entrepreneurial ventures within the creative and artistic domains like yours?
So I think that when you are getting into some kind of crafty or artistic business, you want to have some kind of cred to your name, whether it's through the time that you've put into it or the education that you have put into learning it. You don't have to have done it. Like, you don't have to be the best person at doing the art in order to help other people with their art and with their pursuit of that passion. But I think having the knowledge about it is really important. I've coached swimming, and my coaching as a coach of the swim club got a lot better the year that I decided I should try to compete at this. So learning the skills and really knowing it and understanding it helps a lot. I also say embrace the technology. If you don't like recording videos and showcasing stuff, like, have a plan for how you're going to reach people, because if you're not willing to record videos and post something on like Instagram Reels or TikTok or something like that, especially in a creative industry, you're going to struggle with what to post. So have a plan for that. It doesn't have to be stuff that you create yourself. Maybe it's member led. You do like posts that feature the cool things your members make or something of that sort. But I think having a plan for how you're going to attack some social media, and knowing that social media and media in general is a really important part of your business when you are in a creative craft, and your stuff has to look pretty. So figure it out sooner rather than later.
I love it. Thank you so much. That goes out to those aspiring entrepreneurs also who are looking to convert their artistic passion into a viable business, because the more you post, the more pretty you can make it look, the more likes and the more money. Does it translate to money?
It does. Like, when you bring people into your fold, they find you through that stuff and they're like, oh, she does really cool things, or he does really cool things. And then that's where it follows. Like, it can be a slow process through that turnover, depending on what you're doing. But yeah, I think you just have to know that putting pretty stuff in front of people is a really important part of an artistic business.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's jump into the rapid fire questions. I still haven't come up with a name for that segment yet, but let's do it. Number one, it's going to be a funny question because you're living it. What is the one hobby that you wish you got into it?
Okay. So I know that your first hobby that you started on your podcast journey was beekeeping. And I will tell you, I love watching the videos of the beekeeper people on YouTube and Instagram reels and TikTok reels. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, part of me was like, ooh, I would love to do beekeeping. But I will tell you, I am pretty terrified of bugs and bees in particular. Like, I know they say they're not out to get you, but I have years of negative programming when it comes to bugs. As much as I would love to go out there and be that person that saves the bees, that's probably not going to be me.
No, you're right. Beekeeping was something that got me started on this journey. And it's a part of me because it's something that I can answer a question about pretty quickly. And would I go back to actively beekeeping? That's a question for another episode. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
So there is a few stages in life. And I made a scrapbook page about that. So when I was really little, I wanted to be a ballerina on ice because I didn't know the word for figure skater. And the worst part is I live in Canada, but I'm a terrible skater. So don't tell, I might get kicked out. And then I wanted to be a dentist and later a lawyer and then a teacher. The passion has changed, but yeah, the funnest was a figure skater, but a ballerina on ice.
That's really interesting because from ballerina on ice to lawyer, what did you say?
Dentist, I think, dentist, was next. Yeah.
And then the lawyer and then a teacher. And guess what? You are a teacher because you're teaching.
I do. And I'm so happy to not be in a school. I don't mind working with kids. That's how I got into swim coaching. But I really love the perspective that I get working with adults in the scrapbooking industry. And I just really feel like I have found my niche. It's been great.
They're so much more attentive, right, than kids?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Well, I have firsthand
experience. They're a lot more nervous. They're a lot more nervous. So here's a really weird aside. I know this is interrupting the questions, but kids are willing to try things. Mm-hmm. And I've taught scrapbooking classes for kids and they're just like in and they'll do their own thing. When you teach a class with adults, they do exactly what you did. Most of them, like 95, probably more, wow, do exactly what you teach. And so it's such a different perspective. At some point in our life, we learn to not experiment and to not try. Yeah. We're scared of failure. And I think that one of the greatest things that I get to push people to do is to try new things and to be okay with failing at it. Sometimes we try something, we can have fun trying, but we might be really bad at it. And that's okay.
You're so right. Failure is so important for learning and for growing. And just today, I taught the class and I had assigned them a homework earlier this week. I'm like, hey, do some brainstorming sessions, come up with ideas, blah, blah, blah. And of the 20 students, 11 submitted their work and I read through them. I was like, some people wrote it by themselves. Some people didn't. Like, okay, at least they're using the new technology, which is good. So I started a class with, okay, who knows about ChatGPT? And a ton of people went up one because, like, I don't use it at all. I don't cheat. I'm like, it's not cheating. It's not cheating. It's research. Literally, it is research, right? And I told them that you need to use the technology that you have given the right way. Ask it the right questions so you get the right information back. It's really interesting because I told them entrepreneurs who are successful don't follow the rules that the teacher told them to do. Like,
I embrace the AI and I think that we should encourage kids. If this is the tool that we have now, I look at when I was a kid, we were told, you have to learn how to do math in your head because you're never going to have a calculator in your pocket. Liar pants on fire. Like, we all have a phone now. We have a calculator,
in our pockets.
Yeah. And so learning how to work with the tools that we have, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
an AI is a tool, which means that teachers need to be more creative about mm-hmm. testing kids, because what's more important is having knowledge or having tools to use the things that are available, having those skills to use what's available to you. 100%. That to me is way more important, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Absolutely agree. And that is definitely another conversation. Next question. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
Okay, I have about 10 that make the hit list, but my number one that I'm going to go with today is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Now, I'm talking about the old one, not the Charlie and Chocolate Factory, the one with Gene Wilder. Mm-hmm. I love that show so much. It has that scary boat scene, but the magic of when they walk into the room and it's mm-hmm. got the chocolate river and all the candy everywhere and the kids go. And I love that movie so much. So there we go.
There we go. And what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
I would want to be in that movie.
Yes.
And totally. I like to think I'm not a Veruca Salt, but I might have some Veruca Salt tendencies. So let me be Veruca. Just let me be. I'll be so bossy and pushy. Like, I'm in.
That's right. I love it. All right. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, this is a really hard question.
Is the one your son grilled you on?
My son, okay, we had a battle over what the best superhero power is. He says the best one is teleportation, but actually, and that's a good one. He has a very good argument as why that's the best. But honestly, I would take mind control, because mind control could outperform teleportation. So my superhero power would be mind control, but I have to tell you, I have a pretty soft spot for, am I allowed to say this? I love the girl from Kick-Ass. Is that a bad word? Am I allowed to say it?
No, I think you're fine.
I think it's the name of a movie that I love her, just the determination and like that I don't give up power. And if I was looking at the Marvel Universe, I have to say I love Drax the Destroyer. His ability to not understand any kind of sarcasm or jokes or anything is hilarious to me. And yeah, I love him.
I think he's made a really good career out of being in that movie to now film and now star in other movies well. He's done it. He's done a really good job.
Man, like that, just the way he played that character, it's so literal and I just love it. I just love it so much.
he's so good. All right. Last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
I guess Monopoly, because I love playing it so much as a kid. But am I a board? No, I would say I'm technically not a Monopoly, because Monopoly has a lot of rules that you follow. Mm-hmm. I would have to be something that is a lot more scattered than that. So I'm probably Calvin Ball. Now I have a little backstory to that too. But Calvin Ball is the game that Calvin and Hobbes play together anytime they're doing sports. And we actually have a scrapbooking version of it. So definitely I'm Calvin Ball. They make up their own rules. They don't play it the same way twice. And I'd say that's how I live my life. I make up the rules as I go, and I don't play it the same way twice. So I'm Calvin Ball.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Alice, for coming on to the show. This was a nice journey down the rabbit hole.
Hey, so my first website was called Scrapbook Wonderland for the whole Alice in Wonderland thing. Not even kidding. You didn't know that. I love it.
I know, right? Awesome. Entrepreneurs listening to the podcast, they can find you.
So my website is called scraphappy.org. And that is where you can find me. If you're looking to connect with me online, head over to Instagram, because I love Instagram with passion. So I'm at Alice Bowl, the same thing, I think, on TikTok as well. But I'm on Instagram more. Let's be real. Instagram is where it's at. They've got everything now.
They've got everything.
Yeah. And then if you'd like to listen to the podcast, it's called the Scrap Happier Podcast, and you can find it in pretty much all of the podcast players.
I love it. Thank you so much, Alice. We will catch you in the next episode.
Awesome. Thanks, Janaid.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Janaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.